Hallelujah. Back in the, many of you know about the great revival that took place in 1906, began there in Azusa, California, on Azusa Street there in the Los Angeles area, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and lasted for several years where men and women came from all over the world and got baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. It's really a rebirth of Pentecostalism and of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Church of America, and then it spread around the world, and things were happening all over the world at that time, that one of the things that came out of that was they preached a lot about the blood of Jesus. And the statement was made that they had, by a prophetic word one night, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. I like that. Make much of the blood of Jesus, and that blood will make much of you. Well, that's a great word right there. And so, Father, tonight we just make much of that blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about that. Blood. What is the price? What's the value of that blood? I don't know, but that's what it cost to buy you. That's what it cost to redeem you, was the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. And that shows a bit how valuable you are to God. The world. You know, think of this. It cost God everything. Yes. Everything. Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It cost him everything to redeem you. But he did it gladly. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 12, they talk about Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What joy? You. Every one of you in here. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's the joy of the cross. How could you find joy in sacrificing your life? Because he knew what was going to happen. He knew the result. Glory to God. Well, that's not my sermon title. That's not my sermon message tonight. But you get stirred up talking about the blood of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, the devil, he doesn't like to hear about the blood. Does he? You know, a lot of folks quote Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. Hallelujah. Testifying. By the blood of the Lamb, we're free and we are redeemed. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, lift your hand one more time before. Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for that blood, the blood of Jesus that washes us clean, that washed us clean, that has redeemed us, purchased us. And because of that blood, we have entrance into your very presence. Thank you, Father. You made a way, the new and living way, and we're redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at, I tell you, just I'm excited about the Word of God. Are you? Brother Greg said, I get the great honor of being the dean over at Rhema, teach lots of classes there, and sometimes I look and say, who scheduled me for this many classes? And I realized it was me. You know, Miss Hagen said, yeah, go ahead. So I just keep getting these classes. But I enjoy all of them, enjoy teaching. It's a great honor to do that. One of the classes that I've been teaching is, we call it, it's Bible Doctrines 2. But in that class, we talk about the Bible, how we got the Bible. And one of the great evidences of the word is that within it is evidence that this is God's word. You know, the Bible's alive. I know right now, whatever you're looking at, you might have it on you might have ink and paper, and or you might have electronics. I've got it here on this. There's a Bible here. I've got it here in front of me like this. You might have whatever it is, but it's more than just this paper. It's more than just this ink. It's more than just words. It is alive. It's alive and powerful. Amen. It is that great two-edged sword. It's sharp. Glory to God. And it is a great revealer. But that word. Here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. He says, the grass withers, the flower fades. Well, we're in that time of the year, aren't we? How many of you glad that you don't have to mow your grass anymore? Mine hasn't grown for a while. Just thank God. Amen, that we have that season. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. The word of our God. Now, the interesting, that word for word there is when in the New Testament, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's that Greek word rhema, which rhema Bible church and rhema comes from, that English word from the Greek, that means as a word spoken by inspiration at the moment. It's the same thing here. This is the word that in the Old Testament, when Jesus quoted that was the word that was used. So if it was in the New Testament, he would have said, that rhema, the rhema of our God shall stand forever. If God said it, it's not going to pass away. If God said it, it's going to happen. Don't ever lose patience. Don't ever give up. If God said it, it's true. Look here in chapter 55 of Isaiah. I just wrote down a whole bunch of scriptures to look at tonight. And we'll look at them and just, hallelujah, comment as we go. Glory to God. I love this one here, talking about the word of God. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall. He didn't say it might, did he? He said it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The word that goes forth out of the mouth of God. It's not gonna return void. It's not just empty words. God's word is not empty. In fact, God's word is full of the power necessary to bring it to pass. When God said it, he infused it. If in a sense, God infused it with his faith, if you want to say it that way, so that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. Sometime you ought to get out. There's different volumes. I don't know if my Bible does, but predictions. Oh, it does have it in it. Praise God. All the messianic prophecies from the Old Testament and how they're fulfilled and the fulfillment of them in the New Testament. Remember Jesus, Pastor Bill over at Oklahoma City or at where are we? We're in Oklahoma City. The other city over there, they're actually in Broken Arrow. We wouldn't necessarily call that a city, but they're in Broken Arrow at the church this morning. He was talking about the word of God and how that the scriptures fulfilled and what Jesus said. It's fulfilled in the New Testament here, and that the integrity of it, glory to God. What's said in the new, what's said in the old about Jesus opened up the eyes of those. Remember the guys on the road to Emmaus? That's what I was trying to get. Lost my train of thought there. He said he opened up and began from Moses and began to show them how he was in the scriptures. Amen. And sometimes, well, I don't know if I can trust God. Go back. There's over 3,000 prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah coming. How many of you know he came? Exactly like God said. Well, if God can fulfill over 3,000, he can fulfill every one that's promised you. Amen. Look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Say, I love the word. Here in verse 12, we're just jumping in to just pull out some scriptures here. Then said the Lord unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Another translation says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. When God says it, he just doesn't leave it out there. He just didn't say it and walk away from it. No, he's watching over it. New American Standard said, I am watching over my word. The Amplified Bible here says that I'm watching over my word to fulfill it. I love that. To fulfill it. To watch over. To hasten it. Not happen. To hasten means to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass. It, like somebody said, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Whatever God said, it's going to happen. Glory to God. Now go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, you know, is in a situation where he's taken over for Moses. What a great responsibility. And, you think about it. Joshua's been there through all the obedience and the rebellion of the people. He's seen all of it. And now he's in charge. You know, it's something else to sit and watch when someone else has to make the decision. Now he's got to be the one. And so God tells him some things here in Joshua in the first chapter to help him. First thing he told him, well, look, Moses is dead. Don't be looking for him to help you. All right? But just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Isn't that good news? How many of you know God's no respecter of persons? He's going to be with you. He's going to help you do whatever he's called you to do. Well, he gets down here to verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law, the word of God. And remember, he's only got, he just has what they started writing down. No telling how much of this he has. But he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Now, that tells me this. It's in observing and doing the word of God that brings prosperity or success. Yeah. You don't like the word prosperity? That's all right. It's in the Bible. I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. Amen. You know, mankind didn't make up the word. It, I mean, as far as that, God put it in his word. He means it. We say, well, what is prosperity? Well, you know, you can't put a dollar amount on it. Now, don't try to do that. But let me ask you this. If you got all your needs met and you got more left over to help other people, are you prosperous? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God wants us all to be in that position. He wants all of us. He said he'd meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, now Joshua, so they're here, they haven't even entered into Jericho yet and into the promised land. And then back here in chapter 23, they have entered in. And Joshua says, Joshua knows his time has come. And I want you to look what he said. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Now, this is a testimony of someone who walked with God. Now, again, though, he's not even in the new covenant. He doesn't have. He's not a son or a daughter of God yet. Jesus hadn't come yet, but he's faithful to God, and God's word works. And look what it says here in chapter 23, verse 14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Now, if you don't understand it, he's saying I'm going to die today. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Not one. Hallelujah. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Not even one. Not even one thing, he said. Glory to God. All of us ought to get to the end of our days and say, I'm going the way of all the earth today, and I got this testimony that not one good thing of anything from the word of God that God promised me has failed to come to pass. Glory to God. And we know this, and when I leave this body, there's another promise that I'm going to depart and be with him, which is far better. And I'm going to get this body back someday, but it's going to be a resurrected body. And I'm going to live eternally with God. How can we have confidence in that? Because we have confidence that not one thing that he's promised has failed. Amen. Well, no, you never saw God ever fail his promise. If it didn't happen, it wasn't God. Amen. Now, I know that's a word for grown-ups. Can we adult here? Can we have an adult conversation? It wasn't God that held out on you. You have an enemy, the devil, and maybe he beat you at the game of life. He's your adversary. He might have killed, stolen, just tried to destroy. But God's word gives us victory over him. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. So it's not God. Glory to God. He said, I like how he said, his good word. Look at Psalm 119. Now this psalm is all about the word of God. This is I think the longest chapter in the book of the Bible, at least verse-wise. 176 verses. In this psalm, it's divided out according to the Hebrew alphabet, actually. So there's, 24, 8 verse sections here. And in looking at, now I don't know if you can see my Bible here, see all those green marks in that? Yeah. Now, those are all, I marked every place where the word of God, the law of God, you know, his testimonies, his commandments, wherever that. And then I counted, there's 176 references to God's word in the King James Bible, to God's word. Now, there's been times, you know, I've had times where I just didn't, you know, I wanted to do anything but read the Bible. Amen? Now, some of you have been there, right? Somebody else breathing? You've been there. Okay. I like not necessarily from the King James because you can get, but it's very, there's a good flow to it here, but I'll take some other translations. And these things are really great 8-verse confessions. And you don't get too far into it. You start talking about, I'm going to do this according to the word. I'm going to love. Boy, I'm telling you, it starts to get on the inside of you. Let's just look at a couple verses here. Actually, three altogether I want to look at. Look at verse 89. Verse 89. Yeah, you don't say that very often, do you? Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. How many of you ever heard Kenneth E. Hagin, Brother Hagin? How many of you ever heard him speak? I mean, how many times did you hear him before as he's praying into a service? Father, we thank you that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He'd say that over and over. I know coming into class there, he would say that. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Father, we thank you that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How long? Forever. That means it's settled. There's no more debate. There's no more debate about it. God said it. It's settled. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I don't know where to go. Well, you need to go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. I know here recently, in praying about some things, and my wife and I were talking about some things, and I was talking to God one day, and he said, you need to consume large chunks of my word. Now, what do you mean? I know how to consume large chunks of food. But he said, consume. He said, just read it. I want you to start reading just large pieces of my word. He said, because the same voice of my word is going to be the same voice of the Spirit of God that leads you in this situation. So eat large. He said, I just started reading. Just reading the word. You know, it doesn't take long. You can read a whole epistle in the New Testament pretty quick. You know, the whole book of Ephesians takes about 15 minutes just to read. I mean, but just reading, but not just there. I was reading just reading the word, not trying to figure out a whole lot about, just reading the word, reading the word, reading the word. Why? It's a light. It's a lamp. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I don't know about you. I qualify. I'm simple. I need God's understanding. How many of you know, compared to God, we're all simple thinking, amen, right? But thank God for his word. You can know things by his word that you'd never know any other way. It's going to come from his word. No. Hallelujah. Think about it. His word makes us wise unto salvation. We wouldn't know how to get to God if his word hadn't told us. If his word didn't say, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, we wouldn't know that. He'd have to. There's no way. But God has made us aware of it. Now, go to Psalm 19. I was reading this the other day, and I was reminded, and man, I don't know if you're on that lay witness mission or not, but they taught us a simple song. It used to be back when I got into this 39 years ago, we'd sing a lot of these scriptures and just sing these. But I want to read verse 7 through verse 14 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Then we get down to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. And it goes something like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. You remember that song? And then we, verse 8, verse 9, verse 14, would make the other verses to that. But I got to think, but man, the word of God, thank God, it's sweet. It's sweeter. I don't know if you ever had, how many of you like honey? You like honey that's raw honey? Coming out, I mean, not the kind that they put in that little bear at the store. I mean, that's processed. I'm talking about raw honey. It's so sweet. But the word of God, the Bible says, is sweeter than the honey that comes from the honeycomb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Here's a verse we know. Proverbs chapter 4, the word of God, God's word. Thank God. I had somebody say to me one time, "Nah, not everybody can just believe the Bible like you do." I said, "No, ma'am. No, ma'am." I told her, "No, ma'am. If I've got a special deal, then it's not God. Because God's no respecter of persons. If it'll work for me, it'll work for you. If I can believe the word of God, you can believe it too. It, God's word works for everybody. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. It works for all of us." Chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh." Notice, his words, attend to them. What does that mean? Put it first. Put the word of God first. Brother Hagin was famous for saying and taught us all, what's the word say about this? What's God's word say about my situation? Then incline your ear. That means, somebody said this, it's like adjusting. Now, again, most of us, except for these kids that came over here and sing, but most of us remember when you had to tune your radio. Yeah. Remember? Now, on the way over here, I was punching buttons on the car, and somebody got in there and changed all the presets. Yeah. And so but there's a tuner over there. But it's digital, so you can see the numbers. You didn't used to have that, man. Remember when you had to, just get it, and you get it. Sometimes you'd settle for, to hear a little bit, I grew up in central Illinois, about 90 miles north of St. Louis. I grew up a St. Louis Cardinal baseball fan. And I used to listen to Harry Carey back in the late 60s, early 70s. And listen to Harry Carey call ball games before, he left St. Louis. And I had a little transistor radio. Remember those? Transistor radio. And then I got one. They bought me a little green one. It was like this. It was like a rectangle, and it had a tuner. It was AM only. There's FM. What was FM? AM only. You tune that thing, try to get in, and I have to find. Every once in a while, I could get the station out of St. Louis. I could get KMOX, 1120. I'd try it there and see if I could hear that. No, then I'd have to try to find a station in Springfield, Illinois, which we were closer to, try to find where they were broadcasting. But I'd listen. But you had to tune it in. That's what it means here. Incline your ear. Tune in your ear. Amen. Tune your ear to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them, what? The words in the midst of your heart. For they, the word is life to them that find them. Find what? The word. And health to all your flesh. Or medicine. Medicine. Glory to God. Constantly working in me. Look at Matthew chapter 5. There's so many verses we could look at. But thank God for his word. Hallelujah. How many of you, if I say Keith Moore, how many of you know who Brother Keith Moore is? He talks about being at prayer school and healing school there at Raymond. And he said right across the street from Raymond used to be a Mexican restaurant. And it's not there anymore. We own the building now. But he said he'd been there for lunch, and had, eaten all that. We call it Mexican. It's whatever we call it here. But, it's got all the cheese and the beans and everything. You eat all that. And if you're not careful, it can nod you off. And so he said, we're sitting there. My stomach's full, and I'm sitting there. Brother Hagin's teaching along, and he's talking about the word of God. He said, I'm halfway nodding off, and trying to stay awake there, and doing that. He said, Brother Hagin just walked up close to where he said, me and my friends were sitting, and he walked up and he said, boys, he said, you got to get excited about the word. That's when it'll work for you. And as he walked by, he hauled off and just smacked Keith right across the face. Just smacked. He didn't remember doing it. Didn't do it on purpose. It's just by the Spirit of God. Keith said, woke me up. He said, I'm excited about the word. I'm excited about the word. Amen. But that's when it works for you. Get excited about the word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Jesus said this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. All of it. What does he mean by that? Well, there's not one dotting of the I or crossing of the T, one translation says. It's all going to come to pass. If God said it, it's going to happen. Amen. The smallest letter or the smallest stroke of the what's written of the law, it shall be accomplished. Look at chapter 6. Jesus talking about the power of the word, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended, and the flood came. Floods came, not just one, but floods. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I want you to notice that verse 25 and verse 27 are exactly the same, except one fell and one stood. The only difference was verse 24 and 26. One built their life on the word of God. Another built their life not on the word of God. And it's like building on sand. You can't build on sand. Amen. We've got a little, well, had a little area in the front of our house that I've tried to, over the years, I've put it in twice now, get a bunch of sand because you got brick, and try to get, you know, and get it in, smooth it out, and get it solid, and it'll last for a little while. But the rains descend, and it washes that sand away, and those brick get all out of whack, and get, you know, they're not level anymore, and they don't look good anymore. Yeah, it's a little porch. Not that I said a little place in front of the house. You're concerned. My wife's concerned that you don't think that our house is falling apart. It's the little porch that I built out of brick. That's what's falling apart. Okay, we will be receiving a special offering for my brick porch. No, I'm joking about that. Amen. But it's built in sand. It's sand, and it won't hold up. That's like living your life apart from the word of God. Don't come to God and get saved and then live apart from it. Stay hooked up with God. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark the 16th chapter. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, you got the King James there. In a King James Bible, the word them, the Lord working with them, it's in italics, which means it wasn't in the original manuscript. They've added it, and it's fine. Yeah, the Lord worked with them. And confirming the what? The word, with signs following. Amen. Let's read it and take the word them out, because it wasn't there originally. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. It's the word that signs follow, not them. It's not me. It's the word. God's not confirming me. He's confirming his word. He's acting on his word. He's the signs just said, hey, yes, this is true. All right. The word, you know, Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. Don't preach. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 20. Wally, I might have written a couple others down after I gave that to you, so we'll have to hang on here with me. I got to writing, and I got, oh, yeah, that one's good. I forgot about, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you get there's so much here about the word of God. Now, Paul here is in Miletus, and he's headed back to Jerusalem. He's got to get there because he's got an appointment to get to Rome. Now, you might think, why didn't he just go to Rome? Well, he's got ways that he's got to do this. And so he passes by Ephesus, but he wants to talk to all the leaders there. And so he calls them from another, just south of Ephesus was another sea town called Miletus. And he calls them there. And really, this is the last recorded statements as far as face-to-face that he makes with them here. And, you know, sometimes it's very important. Last words are very important, aren't they? I mean, what about Jesus' last words to the disciples? Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive be endued with power from on high, right? In other words, you know, we might have said it this way if we were him in modern day. Don't even think about trying to go out and do this without the power of the Holy Ghost. So wait here. Well, some of them did, and of course some of them didn't. But those who did changed the world, turned the world upside down. Glory to God. Well, here he's telling them, and so he gets to the end of this, and he says in verse 32, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, all them which are sanctified. Now notice this, all them. Not just some, but all. All, he said here. I commend you to God. The Amplified Classic said, now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Notice that. It is able. It is able. That talks about potential. The potential is there to be built up. Now, what does he mean to be built up? To be strong. To be strong, glory to God. The Message Bible here says, now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you and give you everything you could possibly need in the community of his holy friends. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Passion says, and so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of his grace, which is all that you need to become strong. All of God's blessings are imparted through the message of his grace, which he provides as the spiritual inheritance to all his holy ones. I like this, what the Weiss translation also says. And now, as to the present things, I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. He's not saying, look, and now, sometime, he's saying, look, I'm leaving. But right now, here's what I'm going to leave you with. Right now, at this present time, I'm giving you over into the hands of God's grace. Because it is able. It is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance that Jesus bought and paid for. How many of you know we're joint heirs with Christ? Amen. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, and to give you the inheritance among all those who've been set apart for God. He's able. He's able. He's able. Well, I got there and then I thought of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn over there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the word of God. The word. I kind of quoted this before. I'm talking about what made us wise unto salvation. Look at verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. See, if nothing else, sometimes you just need to have faith in the word. Faith in the word, not just a specific promise, yes, but how about just in general? Just in general. You know, we say to people, well, I'm a believer. Well, are you? Do you believe in it? Do you believe in the word? Do you have faith in the word? You can. It's up to you. Verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be mature, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. One more and then I promise I'll stop. Maybe. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this. Now, you remember when Peter, James, and John went with Jesus and Elijah and Moses appeared unto Jesus? We call that that on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you go get a chance to go to Israel, they have a place there. And of course, it's interesting. Peter said, Lord, we should build a monument. You know, basically, let's build monuments. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And Jesus said, don't do it. But if you go there today, they have one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Because I guess they didn't believe Jesus knew what he's talking about. But anyway, they've built them there. But they went up there and they heard God speak. Same thing basically that he said, a little twist, but same thing basically that he said when he got baptized in the water. Remember, he said to them, this is my beloved son. But then he said, hear him, listen to him, hear him. This is my son. And Jesus was transfigured and the glory of God was so bright on that it changed the color of his clothing to be pure white. And he shined in front of them from the glory of God. And they saw it. That's why Peter said, oh, it's a good thing that we were here. And it was a good thing that they were there. But I want you to notice now Peter is talking about that. And he gets here in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." That's what we're talking about. We just talked about that. "We have also," now listen to this, "a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise." Wait, Peter. You're telling me that you actually heard God's voice with these ears. You heard God speak with the ears on the side of your head, and you're telling me there's a more sure word than that? Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. He said there's a more sure word than that. Well, what is it, Peter? What is it? He said this, verse 20, "Knowing that first that no prophecy of the scripture is it of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Hey, I got a word for you today. It's right here. It's called read your Bible. You want to know what God wants for your life? Read your Bible. You need God to speak to you? Read your Bible. It's right here. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's more trustworthy than if you heard a voice come from heaven. It's more trustworthy than prophetess so-and-so called you out and said, "Thus saith the Lord to you." This is more sure. This is more sure. Look to this word. If someone does say, "Thus saith the Lord to you," make sure it lines up with this. If it doesn't line up with this, just let it go. Amen. They're human. They can make a mistake. But this is God's word. This can be trusted. Hallelujah. I traveled around for 3 weeks with a man by the name of John. His last name was actually Toronto. John Toronto. John was a chief of security for Bear Food in Columbus, Ohio. I don't know if you know what Bear Food is. Big chain of grocery stores back in those. He was chief of security. He was diagnosed with cancer. In fact, when he found out about it, they said, "We don't even have a stage for you. You're going to die. We can't do anything about it." And he said his pastor started going over there and sharing the word of God with him. And John was in a Lutheran church, but thank God Pastor Bob Swanger was the pastor there. He's also filled with the Holy Ghost. And I went to that Lutheran. They'd have their traditional service in the first service, and then they'd have their Holy Ghost service after that. Big strong church, but his pastor believed in miracles. And in fact, I'll tell you a great story on this. Before John was totally cleared by the doctors, Pastor Bob had already put it in his book and published it, that John was healed. But John would take his Bible, and he'd place his Bible on it, and he'd stand on it, and he'd say, "I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on your word, God, that says by Jesus' stripes I am healed. I'm standing on your word that cannot fail, your word that you said you would not lie. I'm healed. This cancer is not of you. I'm healed by this cancer in Jesus' name." And I traveled with the man for 3 weeks and watched him as he go around, and he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a minister. He just give his testimony. We were on an Indian reservation up in Montana, and there's people, all kinds of people that are just dealing with sickness. He got up and gave his testimony about how God had healed him, and how he just kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it and kept standing and kept standing and kept standing. And then he'd say, "And now I'm still standing. Because God's healed me. And the same God that healed me said in his word, he wants to heal you." I'm telling you, miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. You can trust this word. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, Father. Hallelujah. Glorify you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the word of God, that word by which we are born again, by the incorruptible, everlasting, never failing word of Almighty God. Father, you are great, and Father, you are greatly to be praised. We give you the honor, Father. Thank you, Father, that your word is true for one, it's true for everybody. That word, the written, holy word of God, is alive for us today. We thank you for it, Father. and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm telling you, right, if you need healing in your body right now, the word of the Lord says by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. That's what God's word says. Just right now. Just right now. It doesn't come. See, this healing doesn't come from man. Healing is God. And he's in this place. He's in you if you're a Christian. That healing power actually is working right now in you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Healing. There's healing. There's healing in this place right now. Healing. Healing in this place right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you and praise you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, the mighty Spirit of God's moving in this place. Moving in this place. Moving in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you. Thank you, thank you. For your word is true. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. It is truth. It can be. We stand on your word. It shall come to pass what you have said. You're watching over your healing word to perform it in bodies right now. Oh, that life of God. Driving out diabetes. Driving out all sickness, all disease. Hallelujah. Driving out yes. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Driving out. Hallelujah. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes. Hallelujah. I just keep hearing urinary tract infection. UTI has to go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you have to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, my. In the name of Jesus. Kidneys work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I speak life. I speak life to that lung that's trying to shut down. I speak life to it in Jesus' name. The life of God. The life of God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my. Yes. Healing in those joints. Let there be life. 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 Life of God. Life of God. Life of God. The life of God. How arthritis, you have to go in Jesus' name. And life of God. The life of God. The life of God working mightily. Hallelujah. Affecting healings and a cure. Affecting healing and a cure in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. The word of God. By the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you probably all heard it. You know, one of our friends in ministry always says, one word from God. One word from God. Change your life forever. Amen. Go to the word. What's the word say about your situation? What's the word say? I know we find it. What's the doctor said? Okay, that's what what's the word say? What's the word say? Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place without knowing that. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything, whatsoever, you want to come up, just testify what's happened. Come up here. Glenn and Heather are here as we dismiss the service. Brother Greg, we got anything? Don't forget to sign the Christmas card if you haven't done that. Out the cards, I guess it is. Everybody stand up on your feet. Amen. Let's go get our first-time guests. Take them to that place. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give them a hand clap, those that came for the first time tonight. We're so glad you're here. Amen. Amen. Well, shake hands with three or four folks. Tell them I'm going to stand on the word of God and you can be dismissed. Amen.